Chapter 1. It was the kind of storm typically seen in midsummer, the whip crack of white lightning chased by a bone rattle of deep thunder, colliding together and illuminating the entirety of the dark sky above. For one brilliant moment, the stars were washed away in a blinding strobe of endless light, and before the piercing vein had faded from view, a blistering gunshot of thunder roared on its heels. It was a storm so loud that Luke Atwood could hear it even above the whipping blades of the departing Bell transport helicopter as it lifted slowly from the hard ground, angling up and away, its dark-colored body briefly illuminated by the white split against the black sky. It hadn't started raining yet, and Luke wasn't sure it would. They were underneath an early winter sky here in Ottawa, not the typical climate for such a particularly violent storm. "What do you make of this?" a young man asked as he approached Luke. He was dressed in a dark blue uniform with a horizontal label across his back, simply reading, "Security." A rifle was slung over his left shoulder, and he wore a straight-brim baseball cap. Normally, the young man would have sported mirrored sunglasses, but at this time of night, his alert blue eyes were uncovered as he approached his boss. "Make of what?" Luke asked, turning to the other man. "The storm? What am I supposed to make of it?" His voice was elevated, shouting to be heard amid not just the helicopter and the descending rumbles of thunder, but also the surrounding construction equipment, which was making quite the racket on their own. Several different tracked vehicles were scattered on the tundra around them, one of them with a large drilling appliance buried deep into the hard surface of the ground. The motor whined as the massive drill bit dug its way down into the dirt and hardpack, chewing through stone as if it were cotton. In an elaborate circle around the worksite, there were several tall work lamps around, pale white light coating the immediate area in a vague luminescence.
"I don't know," the kid replied, shrugging. "If you listen to the press, all this stuff we're doing up here is throwing the climate into upheaval."
Luke shook his head.
"If you listen to the press, we're directly responsible for melting the freaking polar ice caps. Pro tip for you, Nate," he said, taking a step closer to the younger man so he could be heard. "Don't listen to the press."
"Yeah, I know, Mr. Atwood. Usually I don't, but you gotta admit the weather patterns have gotten pretty screwy, not to mention the scattered tremors. CNN says there's been a 60% uptick in geological events since we—"
"Oh, for crying out loud, kid," Luke replied, rolling his eyes. "CNN? Give me a break."
He looked over toward the construction equipment, then gestured to the young man in the blue uniform and moved him away from the roaring noise of the diesel engines.
"Listen," he started. "Utilitron is doing good work, okay? And we work for Utilitron. So that means we're doing good work."
"I get that," Nate replied. "It's just tough to overlook all this stuff. I mean, everyone thought fracking was safe until it wasn't."
"This isn't that," Luke replied. "This is a new kind of energy, okay? That's what we're doing here. That's what Utilitron is trying to accomplish. Mining for material deep within the Earth's crust. Precious minerals that were undetectable until recently. This is good work, okay? You don't have to feel guilty."
"I don't feel guilty, sir. I just—"
In the background, the roaring thunder of the massive drill broke suddenly into a twisting, rending snarl, metal grinding on something, kicking back, the motors straining. Luke whirled his head around just in time to hear a muffled, echoing blast of impact, orange light bursting against the darkness, the reinforced metal arm holding the drill buckling under the sudden impact. Smoke coughed from the shredded metal as the mounting arm twisted and bent, the crane slowly tipping to the right.
What did we hit?
Luke asked, shouting above the sound of the torquing metal. To his left, a light bulb in one of the work lamps popped and blew, a second one slowly tipping forward, tugged by the power cord wound throughout the construction site.
Look out!
A voice cried faintly in the darkness.
We hit a lair! Broke something open!
There was a ratcheting shudder under their feet as Nate and Luke charged forward, angling toward the chaos in the middle of the work zone. A figure, masked in faint smoke, filtering along the reflective glow of the remaining lamps, ran forward, legs pumping, hard hat bobbing on his head.
Pascal!
Luke shouted, recognizing the silhouette of the man as he ran forward.
Luke!
Pasquale replied, waving his hand.
We gotta get out of here, Luke. What did we hit, Pasquale?
Luke asked again.
What wrecked the drill? I don't know, boss,
Pasquale replied, shaking his head.
But something under the crust. It's split open, man. I don't know what to say.
Screams rose in the air, a series of deafening horror movie yells, pure fear and agony twisted into a singular vocalization, a desperate cry for relief. A massive bang sounded as the crane finished its gradual topple, striking hard against the ground, metal slamming, the arm with the drill snapping off with the impact. Amid the sound, more piercing cries and screams of anguish, sounds that didn't register with Luke at first. They didn't make sense in his surroundings. Something was broken here. It was like reality was tilted on its side and things weren't lined up quite right. Why was everyone screaming? Without warning, another one of the construction lights jerked, then lurched over backwards, slamming down to the ground and disintegrating in a plume of sparks and smoke. There were only two lamps left standing, shining narrow cones of light down into the chaos, a jumbled, darkened mass of fallen construction equipment and abandoned tracked vehicles. In the scant shine of light, Luke could see figures dashing left and right, some of them flailing as if being chased. Pascal turned and took a few steps toward the chaos. Then suddenly, a strange smear of black shadow streaked from his right, striking him and throwing him from the glow into the darkness. And then it was his turn to scream, loud and long.
What is going on here?
Nate shouted, his voice cracking on the edge of panic as he unslung his rifle, transferring it smoothly to a two-hand grip, pressing the stock to his shoulder. It was the standard-issue semi-automatic DDM V5 variation of the AR-15 with an ergonomic tactical pistol grip under the front handguard and an extreme 4x32 tactical scope mounted to the top rail system. They were expensive, modular weapons, but the Utilitron budget for personal security allowed such extravagances. Without another word, Nate lurched forward, charging toward the chaos, his weapon raised, and as he moved, there was a violent jerk of dark-shaped motion to his left. He turned, swiveling the barrel of his AR-15, and squeezed off a swift series of shots. There was a quiet bark of something. Luke couldn't tell what. But Nate shook his head and stumbled backwards, firing again, a rapid, panicked succession of single-shot fire. Luke didn't see what happened. He was already turning, already unclipping the radio from his tactical vest, already running as fast as he could run, calling into the walkie-talkie for evac. He only hoped they could hear him over the sound of Nate's blood-curdling screams.